Ireland and Boyd.
Oh no. Such tourists with him. Kyle Loshen. I've got to press 5 in order to start the recording.
Is it
it doesn't work.
We used to be able to learn Torah before technology more easily.
No, I'll start this anyway, and we'll start the shiur, and then what's called. Torah in Northwest London, Monday, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Iyor, 12th of April, Dayan Levi Yitzchok Raskin Shlita, some halachic topics.
Interesting
shalas.
First of all, Shkoyach for the entire halacha about avak ribis. The word avak, in addition to meaning dust, means meloshen of entanglement. Vayeovek ish imoy. So there's two pirushim in Rashi, and one pirush is that they were wrestling and raising dust, or meloshen they interlocked. They have also in Menachos, where it talks about the tzitzis, it has loshen of ovik bay. The word ovik means to be entangled. And therefore, in addition to what the pshat of avak, meaning the dust, it can also mean it's entangled and one will schlep the other. The loshen in Pasuk in Daniel about keloha, lo, lamed aleph, lo. That everything is kalor is like nothing. So the Mephoroshes say their law means that the dust in the air, that when you see the sun, like I think Rashi mentions there, when you see the sun, a beam of sunlight coming into the room, yeah. And now you can see all the dust in the air, that's the law. Okay. Now, since he said he's going to start off with interesting shailas, so I have a shaila. The chayla, it's a poshita shaila. He's a distributor. Let's say he distributes milk, goes to different shtetlach around Europe, small communities, and sells kosher milk. And because it's Hamish HaChevra, they're not necessarily used to paying on time. So he wants to find a way of incentivizing them. Actually, his problem was that by the time they paid, because of the euro falling in relation to the pound, by the time they paid him, 2 months later, they are actually paying less in pounds than what he sold them. So he was trying to find a way of basically getting them to pay on time. Now, that, to give two prices, to say if you pay now, it's going to be £10 a unit, and if you pay delayed, it's going to be £12 a unit, that's clearly a osel halacha treitare. You cannot advertise two prices for prompt payment and for delayed payment. Because by doing so, you're basically saying that if you pay late, you're going to have to pay £2 extra. And so that's clearly the osul halacha.
In business, it's written for cash payment, 2% reduction on all the invoices, usually.
That may be, so all right, so if you have an exact price, if you have a fixed price, you are allowed to give a discount. But you cannot advertise. You cannot advertise this is the price or this these are the two prices.
It's a cash, it's a method of payment.
So what I've learned ribbis by I have my ribbis consultant and I asked him what can we do to incentivize these customers that they should pay on time. So what he says, once the delivery is made, you can tell them I've delivered the goods. Now if you pay on time within a week, I'm going to give you a 5% discount. That you can do. But to lechatchila advertise two separate prices, that is going to be a problem of treitari, of two prices, which is not allowed.
But you could advertise the price is £5, but if you pay early, then it's £3.
I'm not sure about that. But what I'm saying here is, you're advertising and you say, I'll give you a discount. Later, we'll deal with it. But this is the price.
This is the price.
And yes.
If you pay early,
I'll give you a discount, but not necessarily to advertise what the discount will be exactly. Now, since we're talking about dinim omanus, I had another interesting shaila just yesterday. Not a ribis shaila. Question: a person was nifter, and now they're emptying the house or the furniture, etc. And they put on some, you know, these social websites, whatever, that there's furniture available. And one evening, a Muslim couple turned up, and they looked around and they said, "Oh, those two armchairs, how much would you want for them?" So they said, £20 each. So then they're like, £20 for the two of them. Okay, Potter give her. The Muslim puts out, takes out 20 quid, gives it, and he says, I don't have a van here. I'll come next week, I'll pick it up. Fine. Meanwhile, one of the Einiklach comes down to town and goes through Zaidi's apartment. Wow, those armchairs, I love them. Those are my favorite. All my memories of Bobby and Zadie sitting in those armchairs, I must have them. And Freknische Schalas, and takes them off, to, and they live out of town. Then the Muslim fellow comes along, comes a week later, and they say, "I'm sorry, this is Shingi Gangin." He says, "What's haste? You're Orthodox Jews," and says, "And Chilul Hashem." He's emailing and texting. Who's right? Is the Einikul allowed to take those chairs, or do we say no? Laloch, it's ready sold.
Charge,
the one who is allowing customers into the house is the trustee.
What's the charge? What's the tzad that they should be?
So all right. So we have kinyan. If the guy hadn't put down the money, then it's just a question, of an emonus, of keeping your word, which is also a question of chilul Hashem. But here the guy put out money. You've got two forms of kinyan meshicha and kinyan moros, and min haTorah. But even by a yid, you're coined with kinyan moors, and then because Shem or Yomer lechitich and Nistifru Baaliyo, the Chachamim made a takona that you cannot be coined with moors, only with Mashiach. But here there was no Mashiach. What's the deal with a goy? Is a goy coined with moors, or is a goy coined with Mashiach? So there's different opinions. The Mahalach of the Rambam is, as far as I remember, it can be either moors or Mashiach. Rashi says a goy is coined with moors. Rabbi Natam holds a goy is not koine with Mois, only with Mashiach. The poskim seem to take the view of Rabbi Natam that a goy is not koine with Mois. On that basis, so far, the Einikul is entitled to, to make a chilul Hashem, no, chas v'shalom, but entitled to keep those armchairs. But then, there's a tshuva from the Rashba. There's a volume of Rashba, tshuva samyuchoses l'maham Ramban. In that tshuva, the Rashba, he says that if the minig hamedino is that a goy will be koine from another goy with mois, that is mechayiv also for a yid. That if the minig hamedino is minig atagrin, a goy puts down money, that's considered sold. Then we have to respect that also. So the goy had put down money, so it's not only a question of mishapora. If a yid had put down money for a year, if it had been between two yidden, then it would not be a kinyan, but there would still be an issue of mishapora, that if you break your word once you've taken the money, you are oive and you're inviting yourself a brocha, hefecha brocha of mishapora. But if it's with a goy, then we've got here poskim who say it's actually sold. So it's more than a question of kiddush Hashem, it's actually a question of gneva, etc. Okay.
That's
Mishum Eva. Yeah. I mean, that's clear. When we're talking here, we're Mishura Sadin. Right. Now,
I teach you that they shouldn't put it on the market until they ask their family what they want.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on. Something which I've been struggling with for years, and that is that often we have young ladies who have babies, Baruch Hashem, and they sometimes struggle. The baby struggles to drink, to suck enough milk. And so the mothers will often pump milk, and they have to do this for two reasons. One is because the baby needs milk. The other reason is that if they don't, then the machinery, whatever it's called, will possibly dry up. Actually, there's a third reason. Sometimes it's painful. So what we need, well, now, but to pump milk on Shabbos is a Issur Mahatoire of Choylev is Mefarek told the Dadosh, it's Issur Deraisa. So now this is developed. So what's the solution? On Shabbos, there's a solution called Balaz pump and dump, which means that they pump milk and they put in bleach or something, and so the milk it goes to waste. Obviously, that's a big agmas nefesh, but that's the halacha for Shabbos. So, several times I've had this shaila. What about for Yom Tov? Is the pumping of milk on Yom Tov the same issue as Shabbos? Now, this becomes even more of an issue when you have, you know, 2 days Yom Tov next to Shabbos. You skip a day is one thing. If you skip for 2 days, 3 days, it becomes more of an issue of not having enough supply of mother's milk for the child. So it becomes a tzorech gadol, etc. Agmas nefesh, tzorech gadol.
Didn't understand the metzias. What's the problem?
The problem is that she pumps. If she's going to pump, she normally pumps and keeps the supply and gives the baby the bottle.
Mechanically, yeah.
No, she pumps.
No electric.
No, not going. Just a hand pump. Yeah. Now, if the baby Shabbos, she pumps, but she throws it away.
Why?
Because it should be Melocha Shein Sichel Gufo.
What does the baby drink?
So the baby drinks either what she produced before Shabbos, or she makes formula.
So she has to pump.
She has to pump in any case because she needs to relieve keep her system running. Yeah. But so Shabbos...
Is that given? Because I thought there were ways that people could pump anything.
Apparently, there are poskim who allow using a mechanical pump, electrical pump, attached to a time switch. She'll attach the pump before the pump works, it activated, and then it's like it happens by itself, so to speak. There are other poskim who allow that, but meanwhile I'm not dealing with that issue. I'm just looking at Yom Tov. So why can't you milk a cow on Yom Tov? After all, tzorech nefesh. Now, in this issue of maleches oichel nefesh for Yom Tov, why can't you go into your garden, you've got an apple tree, pull off an apple and eat it on Yom Tov? It's quite maleches oichel nefesh. So here we've got two mahalchim. Some say it's also midrabonon, and some say it's also min ha-toyre. There are rishonim based on Yerushalmi that they say that all the maleches until lisha, which means making a dough, in other words, plowing, harvesting, grinding, threshing, all of these they say are also min ha-toyre, and only from lisha onwards, which is the kind of thing which you do for that day, that is already mutter. That's mahalach of some rishonim, as I say. Marshalbring is brought down lahalocha, but the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, don't pass in that way, and they say that plucking an apple is actually mutter min ha-toyre on Yom Tov. It's an isud rabbonon because the kind of activities which you would normally do for several days' supply at once, that is also because you might overdo it on Yom Tov. You might do on Yom Tov or after Yom Tov, which will be a zilzule, a zilusa de Yom Tov, whatever the reason is, that the kind of things which are done in bulk are not allowed to be done on Yom Tov. So harvesting, grinding, etc. That's why also you can't make chrein. About to grind chrein, it's a kind of thing which, if I ever make chrein, it's for a few days' supply, yeah? Or you just buy it in the jar. It's a kind of thing which is made of a few days' supply, which therefore you cannot make on Yom Tov. Some say you can do it with a shino, etc. So now.
Make a Yom Tov with a seder for Pesach?
Not normally. Not in the normal way. No. If anything, it's with a shino. With a shino, you got it. This because and Shkolach Rav mentioned specifically chrein, he says with a kuf, whereas something like carrots, which you can make carrots earlier, but it loses a bit of the crispness. So carrots you should also do with the shinui, that you grate it onto the table rather than into a bowl. But something like chrein, which doesn't really lose its strength, if you. Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
Open.
Yes. Well, what's they put in a jar?
This is the era of Pesach.
It was better this year.
No,
it was more tolerable.
You've got to keep it really tightly closed because it could lose its
thing. Yes. But you know what? We'll come back to this. If the chrein is too strong, it is a question whether you yotze. Because it has to be a machol. It has to be a brocha by pri adomo. If it's just impossible to eat, ashayla whether it's actually called a ma'achol.
It's the other way around too. If it loses it, it's also an
option. Yes, it's a bit of a balance. Yeah. So coming back. So now, Why can't you milk a cow on Yom Tov? So there are Rishonim who say it's got to do with Noilad. And then they make the differentiate. Laloch brought the difference in Siman Tov Kof Hey, difference whether the cow is a milk cow or is it being bred for meat. If it's being bred for meat, then it's Oichel Me Oichel. It's easier. You're taking food from food. If it's a cow which is being kept for dairy, then it's more of a problem of milking the cow because it's Noilad. The Shulchan Aruch Rav brings another Mahalach. He says the reason why you're not allowed to make milk cows, Odom, Rogil Odom, or Lachloiv Kol Tsoinoi B'yoim Echot. Interesting. Normally, if you are a dairy farmer, you milk your cows every day, I think. But if you are, let's say, you've got sheep, why are you breeding sheep? Not for milk. But occasionally you want to make some cheese. So you'll take all your sheep. One day, you'll milk a bunch of sheep, and you'll make cheese. That is a regilus. You're doing a lot of milking, but not for today, but to make cheese. On that basis, he says you're not allowed to milk a cow, milk an animal, because it's a derech to make the milk for a few days' supply.
Okay.
Asher Alkein, Yesh Loimar, we have a massive, we have a heter here. Vamed vorim amurim. To milk a cow. We're there, it's a derech lasis liyom harbe. But milking of a woman's breastfeeding, milk from a woman, never was a derech lasis liyom harbe. It was never such a thing. And therefore, it's not included in the gzeis of the rabbonon of milking. So, Baruch Hashem, today there's something called Otzar HaChochma, and they found two articles in various journals which actually take a similar view, that there are starkest tzodim lahatir that for Yom Tov, the woman would be able to pump the milk and keep the milk instead of wasting it. Now you're telling me that there is another mahalach with electric pumps that you're allowed to use the milk, and I'd like to look into that more carefully. So that's on my homework list.
You're not happy with just a choyle, that she can become a choyle if she doesn't do it.
So then, all right, but then yes, but then to throw away the milk. Then it becomes Melacha Shein Sirich El Gufa, etc.
You can do it, Shabbat. You
know that. I think everybody agrees. The baby who needs the milk is also...
That all justifies, no question, if there's an issue of Pikuach Nefesh, there's no question. Here we're talking about where there is an alternative, there is formula, etc.
So would she be obliged?
And so, just a second, someone asked me last week, I mean, let's say some of the formula is not Cholav Yisrael. So are they, well, do you say... I should use them. It's a pure nefesh. The child needs the milk because otherwise they're going to use kolavakum. Is that going to justify doing a malacha deraisa? Shvacha Moses, yeah. As much as I'm against using kolavakum. Sorry.
So I'm just saying, would she be obliged to ensure before Yontif that she has enough supply order that the baby shouldn't come on Yontif to come a choyle?
Of course, she should be mishtadl. Yes, yes,
right.
Sorry. I was with you on the sheep, on milking sheep, but cows are milked twice a day.
Yes.
Regularly.
Right.
Every day.
Right.
So therefore, why couldn't you milk a cow on the Yom Tov?
So he's saying because the act of milking is often done liyom harbe. That's this mahalach. Are you saying, in Echidame, there are Rishonim who are more noite, they are allowed to milk. You have Bir Halacha in Siman Tov Kof Hey, he has a discussion whether even those who hold that Disho is deraisa, There's still room to be made on milking.
But a cow, people generally milk cows more than sheep. Cows is what we talk about when we're milking.
Right, and so then begs the question, why should a minority scenario dictate the chumrah on the whole milking? Okay, point taken, yeah. Let's move on.
No, that's right, agricultural dosh is done in batches.
Yes.
But this dosh, as in milking of cows for women,
yes,
is not.
Yes, yes.
It's a different type of
issue. It's more reason to be made. Yeah. Now, let's go on to another question. I don't know what the Litvish Minig is before you're speaking about the difference. I'm worried I might get into a backlot on her. About peeling fruit, eating fruit on Pesach, with peels or without peels. Yeah. So, many from Yidden, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of Chabad Minhogim, you'll find the parallel in Aruch HaShulchan, And the reason is because we're also from Litter. And so a lot of minhagim which are shared across the board. So there are many from
here. The same religion,
yeah. I must share with you. I spoke on Shivir Shal Pesach. I heard once a beautiful word. When you walk, when the Yidden went through the Yamsuf, so the goyse Yamsuf Ligzorim, say it was 12 tunnels. Says the Pirkei Rebbe Elazar, he says that the tunnels were see-through, they're like windows. Why was it important to have the windows in the tunnel? They should see one another. And the Teretz, I heard from a fine Litvak, he says that, you should know, all the tunnels, they're all going to reach the same destination. And when you are going on your path, you should know there's another path, and you should respect that. You should understand that they're also going to get there. Don't worry. Okay, very beautiful thought. Now, let's come back. So now about peeling apples, etc. Can you use a peeler? Wow. Are you allowed to use a peeler on Shabbos? So there are mahalchim which say that if it's an edible peel, then you are allowed to peel even with a peeler. Basically saying, it's oichel me oichel, it's not boiled at all. And therefore that's the position of the Avnei Nezer, etc. That in Aglital, he says it's not called boiled at all. And so it doesn't have the hagabolus. The Moshe, for example, even, let's say, peeling. Peeling is only somach l'suda. You're not allowed to peel for, you're not allowed to, let's say, you want to make a platter of watermelon wedges. To do that, 9 o'clock in the morning, so that at 12 o'clock or whatever, when the olim come back from shul, it should be ready, that wouldn't be allowed, because although peeling is permitted, it's only somach l'achila.
On Shabbos.
So now, coming now to, I'm dealing with Shabbos for the moment. Now, coming back to using a peeler, so the Avnei Nezer's mahalach is that edible peel is not called bayir altogether. It doesn't have the hagbolos of bayir. So you can do it for lachazman, etc. That is his opinion. There are those who are more machmir, and they say the fact that you are discarding this is an indication that for you it's soilus. And therefore they say you shouldn't use a peeler on Shabbos. So we've got here these two mahalchim. On Yom Tov, you are allowed to use a peeler. That's unanimous. The rules of Beirir on Yom Tov are different to Shabbos. On Yom Tov, Beirir, you have to take the easiest route, the route of least resistance. And therefore, to use a peeler is actually quicker, less effort than to use a knife. And therefore, Yom Tov, Kulei Alma, Moedi, that you can use a peeler. Coming back to Shabbos. So now, what happens if this, even according to the Avnei Nezer, this is an edible peel, therefore no problem of bayir. What happens if you're an istinis and you have particular, you can't handle eating with peels? So then for you it becomes a problem of bayir. So now coming to Pesach, if you're one of those who their culture is, their minig is not to have peeled, to only have peeled food. So on Pesach we all become istinism. And therefore we wouldn't be allowed to use a peeler, even according to Dasa Mekilim, because on Pesach, this is considered psoilus for us. Okay. Now, a lot of fine Yidden try to avoid buying manufactured products, etc. So now, a family, actually, where they live is somewhere in some loch in the middle of Central Europe, and they don't have a kosher grocery, probably. So, Al Kol Panim Pesach, they made sweets. How did they make sweets? They took banana, mashed banana, and they took crushed nuts, a bit of sugar, and it became sweet. It looks like they were over-ambitious. After Pesach, they're still left over, and by then it's become quite mushy. So now, this is the Peshach after Pesach. So they took some rolled oats and mixed it into this banana-nut mixture to make it a little bit more, to give it more body. And so now the question is, what bracha? Now, normally we say when you have a mezonos, if you have a dogon, even if it's a minority, it becomes the dominant feature. If it's for taste and for nourishment. But if it's for body, if it's for structure, then it remains toffle. And in this sweet, this is clearly the case. It was ganz geschmack before, but it lost its body. You put in the rolls to give it body, the oats, sorry, to give it the body. So then it remains, whatever bracha you made before, remains the same bracha. In Diane Krause's Sefer, in his Sefer, he's got two svarim of brachas, Makera bracha and Teishas bracha. So in Makora Brocha, he takes the view that the brocha on licorice is mezoinus, because licorice is made with flour. But in Toysfus Brocha, he is choyzer boy. He consulted Khaled and Bowser, who were manufactured licorice, and they informed him that the flour is there for body rather than for taste. And on that basis, the licorice became back to shahakul. Now, I want to share with you, since we've been talking about Bichasanenin, another question of Bichasanenin. More about Brocha Achreina. The only thing I do in the kitchen is actually eat. I'll taste the food, etc. Apparently, to make chocolate brownies, the recipe is one cup of flour and two cups of sugar. And if I got it slightly wrong, but it's quite a lot of sugar. So now, I come in the morning, I need to have a bit of a boost of energy, a cup of coffee, and a shtickle mezoinus. So I take a chocolate brownie, and looking at my, I take just a kezayis. I had a kezayis of chocolate brownie. I have a kezayis, but half of this kezayis is sugar. So how can I make a broche alamichyo?
You wouldn't call it sugar cake, you call it cake.
No. Yes. So now, since this has become a whole parasha. Now, actually, curiously, I spoke about this. We had a Kiddush Torah on Pesach. I spoke about this. You know, how are you talking about chocolate brownies in the middle of Pesach? But be honest, the Yesod HaDvorim is...
make brownies on Pesach,
well, the potato. It ends no shayla mezonos.
Could you use it for your Kiddush on Shabbos morning? Kiddush Mokum Sudah?
Okay, probably an offshoot of the same way. So now, the Yesod HaDvorim is actually a discussion in Hilchos Pesach, where you've got flour, and you mix it with Kemach Oires, and then are you Yotze Mitzvah's Matzah? And the halacha is that Oires, we don't know what Oires is exactly, is it rice or millet? But the Oires has got a certain affinity to wheat, that it kind of, Chapsa Charufa von Wogen, it becomes kind of, becomes Zogon, becomes wheat. And the halacha is, if you have Kazayis Bichdei Achilas Pras, which means 1 to 5, you've got 6 parts, 1 is flour from wheat, and 5 parts is rice flour, and you made matzahs, you're yotze with 1 kezayis. Yotze with 1 kezayis. But that's only with rice. There's a certain special, as you call in Britain and America, special relationship, yeah? Between flour and between dogon and rice. But other things, but also there's this swore that kezayis bechdei achilas pras. It kind of, the dogon kind of dominates, and it takes everything, becomes mezoinus. Now, on that basis, your chocolate brownie is a mezoinus. The whole thing is mezoinus. And the sugar also becomes, is a mezoinus. Now, here, so this is a thing which a lot of, you know, poskim talk about it, etc. I just want to fill you in, the Shulchan Aruch Rav at the back, He's got what's called Seder Birchas Hanenin. And there seems to be a stira. In one place, he seems to be saying that as long as Kazayis Bichdei Achilas Pras, then you can have, then it's, you know, it's ala michya. In a second place, he says if you mix flour and flour, flour of dogon and flour, let's say, of tapioca or whatever, of kidneys. So he says, yes, Yoyimrim Kazayis Bichdei Achilas Pras. Some say no. You can only make an ala michya if you actually have 6 kezayisim, in which you've had a kezayis of dogon. So we've got here a shtickle stira. And the answer to this, which for years this has been bothering me, and the answer is like this, Herzu, this is Mogen Avraham, the end of Simen Reish Ches. There's a difference between flour mixed into flour and flour mixed into sugar, etc. The Gemara says, when you have a combination of flour and duvsha, you might have thought duvsha iker, kamash v'lon, that the dogon is iker. So then we have a halacha, and that's more the Gemara is talking about in bracha rishoyna. But we are going to take that. The post can take that also for bracha achreina. You've got a combination of flour and duvsha and honey. Halacha is the dogon is iker for bracha rishoyna and for bracha achreina al kaponim when chazayis b'chidei achilas pras. when you got flour and flour, the doggone flour is not as noticeable. Again, flour in sugar, the presence of the flour is more noticeable. So if it's 1/6 of the mixture, it remains the dominant feature. But when you've got flour with flour, because it's the same kind of properties, therefore that flour becomes more bottle, and you wouldn't be able to make a brocha achroino unless you had a kazayis mamash. So that's what the Magen Avraham says towards the end of Simei Resh Ches. Makes this distinction. There's a difference what combination we're talking about. If it's flour with other sweets, etc., then we'd make a brocha achroina on one kazayis of chocolate brownie. Whereas if you had a combination of two types of flour, which are mezoyin, which are alamichio and bein nefoshes, then you'd have to have a larger amount in order to bake a brocha achroina. Otherwise, it'd go down to bein nefoshes.
Right. So 1/6 was without flour.
So what one and the ratio of 1/6 or 1/5 actually, that is talking about flour sugar. With sugar. But when it is flour with let's say tapioca, then you'd have to have a kazayis mamish. In other words, you'd have to have 6 kazaisim, in which there is a kazayis of dogon, and that's the, then you can make an almich. Time's up. Oh.
No.